Hi, I'm Rick Anthony, and welcome to the Someone You Should Know podcast, the podcast that focuses on musicians, authors, and interesting people. We like to say we're making a difference one artist at a time. So sit back, have a cold one, and get ready to meet someone you should know. As you already know, I truly love the local music scene. I invite people to check out local music all the time. I love to introduce new acts from the Chicagoland area. My guest this time is an emerging solo artist on the acoustic circuit out of Northwest Indiana. My wife Leslie and I caught her as part of a songwriter showcase at Toys for Tots benefit last Christmas. She's the very talented Leanne Stutler. How you doing, girl?
Good. How are you?
I am very excited to have you on the show. Since it's the first time I saw you there at the Toys for Tots benefit, it was a packed house last December, and I want to give you some kudos. What was your thoughts on that event and your whole process of becoming a singer-songwriter? When did that all evolve?
You know, that was a great event. I love to do things where you get to give back to the community. And not only is it for a good cause, but you get to meet a lot of awesome people along the way, too. So it's not just performing for charity. It's also a networking opportunity. Mm-hmm. And as a singer-songwriter, you could always use more networks, right?
Right. Very good. Now, when did you actually be involved with music? I know it was at an early age. Can you give us that story?
Yes. So I tell people that my parents made the worst decision possible when I was around 3 years old, and they took me to go see a Jody Messina concert at Star Plaza Theater in Maryville when it was open. And she was my favorite country singer for as long as I can remember. She still is. And they were like, okay, well, she likes her this much. We'll take her to a concert. And that was the end of it. I knew I wanted to be a musician at that point at 3 years old.
Awesome. Very good.
And went from there.
After you graduated, you wound up going to Columbia College in Chicago, got a bachelor's of music and concentrating on contemporary, urban, and popular music. You know, your performances are primarily country music. You throw in some classic rock, some alternative pop songs and such. Musical acts that inspired your stylings, obviously Jody Messina. Who else inspired your stylings?
Well, like you said before, I focus a lot on the country and Americana realm of things. So obviously there's Dolly Parton, there's Reba McEntire, Miranda Lambert, as far as like the more contemporary artists go, is a big one. Barbara Mandrell, I think, is the ultimate entertainer. Mm-hmm. I've loved her since I was in middle school. But outside of country music, Sheryl Crow's a big one, Melissa Etheridge, Stevie Nicks, Janis Joplin. I'm all over the place, really. But I like the stylistic and the entertainment stylings of some of the more classic rock artists. But I love the stories and the songs and the attitude, but the sentimentality that comes with the country music at the same time.
Very good. What's your catalyst? What was the catalyst behind you becoming a solo acoustic artist?
So for the longest time, when I say the longest time, I mean like I think it was about 5-6 years. I was in a band actually.
Oh, okay.
So I started on piano when I was 6, picked up guitar at 13, mandolin, and I played alto sax for a few years in high school at 15. And then right before I turned 16 years old, I impromptu started a band. I know that sounds weird. It started as a youth group fundraiser where me and a couple other friends would kind of do duo songs with each other. Mm-hmm. And then it ended up becoming a band. But when I got ready to graduate college, all of us were kind of going our own separate ways in life. Mm-hmm. Going into my senior year of college. So then I graduated college. The band disbanded just because everybody went their separate ways. And then COVID hit less than a year after I graduated college. So it was a lot easier to do solo acoustic things at the time than it was to try and get a new band together.
Mm, perfect.
And the solo acoustic route, I've enjoyed it so far. I like to go to jam nights and play with other people or do kind of duo, trio things with people sometimes. But the solo acoustic has been working out for me pretty well the last few years, just because it's helped me dive into the craft of songwriting a little bit more and discovering who I am as an artist and what songs fit well for my repertoire.
All right, very good. Music time right now. First song we're going to feature is one I really and truly like. It's from your most recent EP, Welcome to the Circle. The song features banjo and fiddle accompaniment. What's the story on How I Feel?
How I Feel. I wrote that one during the pandemic. Actually, most of the songs on that EP were written during the pandemic, and it was kind of all of my frustrations being aired out because I kept finding myself sitting in my living room watching the news or finding something on Facebook and being like, for the millionth time, can we just dot, 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 fill in the blank? And it was a lot of frustration. And like a lot of people, my mental health was kind of taking a nosedive for a little bit.
Right, yes.
And music was the therapy for me of like trying to convey those emotions in a healthier way instead of just yelling at the TV or yelling at the wall. And how I feel was kind of the, we're going to lay it all out on the table. You can sit here and you can listen to me and what I have to say, my viewpoints on what's going to happen. This is the warning shot for the EP. And if you have a problem with it or you don't like it or you're just not interested, this is the time to get out before you listen to the rest of it.
Awesome. Very good. Now I got to ask you, who's playing on the track?
So most of that was me or Nick Kazonis over at Region Buzz 219 where I recorded. Nick Kazonis is a very good friend of mine. I actually work at Region Buzz too as a music instructor. Mm-hmm. And then also on that particular track was a friend of mine from Columbia named Van Isaacson. He played the fiddle on that album.
On that track. Very good. Really like it. You're going to like it too. How I Feel from today's podcast guest, Leanne Stutler, right now.
And I said it was.
That's how I feel from today's podcast guest, Leanne Stuttler. More great music from Leanne coming up in just a couple of minutes. But first, I would like to say thanks so much for tuning in to the Someone You Should Know podcast, heard wherever quality streaming audio is available and on the World Wide Web at SomeoneYouShouldKnowPodcast.com. There you're going to find our recent news, our archive of past episodes, and a whole lot more. If you're visiting for the first time, we invite you to leave a review. Now, according to Buzzsprout, the service that shares this to all the streaming platforms, so very blessed, in over 2,100 cities and 85 countries around the world is where we're heard. I cannot believe that. I'm just blown away. Want to salute a couple of new ones. Williamson, New York, Medicine Hat, Alberta, Canada, Honolulu, Hawaii, and right near Leanne's hometown, Crown Point, Indiana. The Someone You Should Know podcast, heard wherever quality streaming audio is available. Thanks again. We're speaking with Leanne Stuttler from the local area of Northwest Indiana. I got to ask you, what is your songwriting process? What inspires you? Or do you have a set time to record? Or is it just kind of your fly by the seat of the pants kind of girl?
You know, for the most part, it's a fly by the seat of the pants kind of situation. I have a hard time, and I will admit it, and there's some songwriters that are like, oh my gosh, we need to get better at this, which is true. But I have a hard time sitting down to write just to write. Mm-hmm. For some reason, I just cannot get in the right headspace and force myself to do it. I took a songwriting class in college, and I had to do that. And I mean, it helped a little bit, but outside of a classroom setting, it's very hard for me to do that. Most of the time, I'll just be like thinking to myself. When I go to work, I'll be doing something where it's kind of a mundane task and my mind starts to wander. And all of a sudden I'll like think of something in my head and I'm like, oh, hey, that would be a good line for a song. Or I'll say something to a friend. And I'm like, okay, that one's mine. You go get your own for your song. This one's mine. I'm calling it now. This is my dibs. And then I usually build something around a line or two.
That's very good. Now, when I used to write for the All-Star Radio Network, I worked there for 19 years. I used to write comedy and parody songs and such like that. I always kept a little notepad with me, usually by the side of the bed or in the bathroom or something like that. Mm-hmm. Do you use your phone or an app, or do you have tons of notebooks or what?
Usually I keep the things that pop into my head in the notes app on my phone, but then I'll write them out like on a computer, either like on a Word document or the notes app, just continue it there. But whenever I'm done with a song and I feel like it's pretty close to being finalized or it is finalized, I always write it down in a physical notebook.
Very good. It's always nice to have that. That way you can always refer to it, you know, as far as that goes, if you have a dry spell or such.
Yeah, I've got everything in a notebook. I've got a couple notebooks, one I used in college, one that I use outside of school now that I've graduated. And I always put the date at the bottom. Mm-hmm. And then I always try to have some sort of electronic copy of it too somewhere, because like, you know, time, date, stamp, copyright, that kind of thing. Cause we live in a world where people like to, try to knock you for things. And then I have proof. So just in case that ever happens, but that was part of my music business.
Very good.
Degree, smart, or minor.
Smart lady there. So. Smart lady there. Make sure you go ahead and get everything copywritten. That's very, very important. Published or whatever it might be. That's where the money comes from, because you're definitely not going to make it on Spotify or the streaming platforms unless they're buying, right?
Yeah, unfortunately.
As an emerging solo artist, what challenges have you faced in establishing yourself on the acoustic circuit, and how have you overcome them?
A lot of the challenges that I have right now are trying to get answers to emails.
Oh, really?
And Facebook messages. Yeah, that's a big one for me. So my way of counteracting that really is if a place does like an open mic or a jam night, trying to go there and participating, or like if I have a friend that hosts something, trying to get on their list of their special guests and then going from there. And we all help each other out in that way too, trying to introduce each other and network and talk on behalf of others to a certain degree. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of my way of counteracting things. But dang, a lot of emails get sent, and what everybody says about for every no that you get, there's one yes, and there's way more no's than there are yeses. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you're lucky if you get a no. Most of the time, they just don't even look at the email. That's what it is.
Yeah, the podcast, a lot of people submit things. There's a couple we cannot play as far as that goes because they just don't really fit. But we try to do our very best to listen to everything that is submitted and talk to everybody along the way. The local music scene is absolutely phenomenal, and I love to see the camaraderie between other artists, other bands and such. Have you noticed that also here in the 219?
Oh, definitely. I went to Columbia for 4 years, and on campus at Columbia, there was a lot of collaboration, a lot of people stepping outside of their comfort zones, in class and outside of class. But I still, to this day, think that we have a fantastic music scene here in Northwest Indiana. I feel like we're a lot closer here than the people that I knew in Chicago were. And we all help each other out. I mean, really, that's what it comes down to, is we have a very close-knit community here, and I don't take that for granted, being a part of it.
Very good. Now, we're going to go back to 2019, Leanne's previous album, for a track called Spin. What's the story on Spin?
So Spin, I had just gone through a pretty difficult time in my life. I was struggling with my mental health. People were coming in and out of my life very quickly. Trying to figure out who your real friends are in the world. I mean, that's what happens when you transition from being a teenager into being an adult. And it happens. There's no hard feelings. It just happens. But there were times where I was trying to express how I was feeling to other people, and it didn't make sense. I was a dancer for 10 years, and that's where a lot of the dance analogies come from in this song. Especially at the end with the list of things that I wish for people in the outro. So using the dance analogies kind of broke down a wall for some people. It's like, okay, we got to keep moving forward. I wish you the best. Don't turn your back on people. And it's everything that I learned in dance lessons growing up and then took into life and seeing how they compare with one another.
All right. More great music right now from today's podcast guest, Leanne Stuttler. Here is Spin.
Spin me to go back in time. take your time and wait. Don't let your head fall down. Don't turn your back to the crowd. And one day we will see if you ever spin your way back to me.
That's Spin from today's podcast guest, Leanne Stutler. We've been talking to her today. A lot of great local music in Northwest Indiana. And Leanne, I see that you've opened for some great country acts like Lanco and Granger Smith, Ailey Colleen, and a couple of my friends. You mentioned one earlier, Joe DiMassina and Rodney Atkins, also friends of mine. And what's the best advice you've received so far from working with acts like these or someone else along the way?
Even though I've gotten to open for some of these artists, I haven't gotten to meet a lot of them, believe it or not.
Yeah.
But I did get to meet Joe DiMassina, and that was... I cried for an hour and a half after I walked away from her. But when I got to meet her, all I could do was say thank you over and over again. And she just said, I don't know what for what, but you're welcome. And I tried to explain to her in the very little time that I had that she was the reason that I do this. And I want to be a strong female role model for somebody one day, like I felt she was for me as a little girl. And she just said, just keep pushing. That's all you can do is just keep pushing. So that's something that I take to heart.
Awesome. Very good. Now, the next section has to do with touring. It's called Tales from the Road. Those are those infamous road stories where things didn't go quite as planned. You know, you plug in and your amp blows, or you plug in and all of a sudden the power blows, or you get to the venue and realize you're at the wrong venue. Anything come to mind, Leanne?
I've been fortunate enough to do this for almost 11 years now. And nothing like super traumatic has happened yet, knock on wood.
That's a good thing.
That's a fantastic thing. I think the biggest, like, I don't want to say biggest, the most inconvenient thing that I run into sometimes is that, like, I fill out contracts for certain events. Mm-hmm. If it's like a private event or like a farmer's market, if it's somebody I've never worked with before, and I outline like, okay, I need two power outlets. I need, access to electric within this amount of space, or I need this much space to set up speakers or whatever, depending on the size of the venue. And I try to outline everything as much as I can. And then to arrive and you're like forced into this little itty bitty corner. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, I guess we're just going to go for this today and see what happens. There's always a volume knob. I think that's kind of the most inconvenient part as far as Tales from the Road. But I've gotten tipped in some weird things before too. I think that's one of the things. I'm sure every musician has a list of like things that they've received at a gig from somebody, and my list is growing.
Could you share a couple with us?
Yeah. So one of the gigs I played last month, it was at a craft vendor farmer's market kind of situation. And I got tipped in a box full of cookies and brownies and scones, which, like, I'm not complaining. That was fantastic. But those are always the fun ones. I got a $5 Starbucks gift card one time. It said 20 on the outside of it. I mean, it is what it is. I was just impressed there was actually something on it. I've gotten two pairs of sunglasses before. Get a lot of business cards for like churches and I'm like, do you know Jesus and things like I do. I'm a worship leader at church. I'm well aware. But those always make me giggle. And I got a horse magnet one time. I don't own a horse. I might be a country singer, but I don't own a horse. But that was cool. Random business cards for like businesses that those people don't even work at.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, that's cool.
Have you had to sign anything for anyone as far as that goes?
Yeah, I've signed a lot of t-shirts, CDs, I think things like that, notebooks, posters, nothing out of the ordinary yet.
My wife and I were at a gig last Saturday night, and I got a chance, we were hanging with the band a little bit, and this girl stepped up and she said, would you sign my boob? And I'm going, oh dear God, how tacky was that?
Hasn't happened.
I used to announce for the National Hot Rod Association, and a lot of these drivers would sign amputated arms. They would or whatever like that. They would take detach their arm. Hey, can you sign that for me? And it's like, okay. I'm sure there's a lot of weird things. And as you've been at it for 10, 11 years already, something's going to happen along the way that you're going to go, Oh, dear God. I don't believe I just did that.
Yeah, nothing has happened yet so far. I don't think I've had to sign any body parts yet. I think a lot of it's been like t-shirts. Now, t-shirts when people are wearing them, but it's usually like on the back, so that's still not that weird.
Okay,
But
good, good.
we're
What about your
getting there.
plans for spring and summer 2024? Any goals and plans?
So I last weekend actually I was just in Nashville. I got to play songwriter around at the Commodore Grill, and it went really well. So I'm hoping to get back on the schedule maybe sometime this spring and summer down there. I have to contact the woman in charge, but she said to do so. So hopefully that'll happen again. Fingers crossed. I'm going to be in different parts of the Midwest. I'm going to be in parts of the Chicagoland area in Illinois. I'm in different places in Indiana. I've got a few things booked in Michigan so far. My goal this spring, this summer, this year as a whole is to expand the radius of where I play. I love Southern Indiana. I've played down there a few times, so I'm trying to find more venues down towards Indy, south of there. Illinois is always fun. I'm going to be in Kankakee a couple times this year. So if we can just move a little further from Chicago, then that would be cool. That's the goal this year.
Awesome. Very good. How about some links to your website and social media? Because I want everyone to follow you and find a little bit more about you and where they can see you play.
Definitely. So my website is www.leannstutler.com. That's LeannStutler. I always spell it out because I have the name with nine different spellings and it's
Absolutely.
usually not the right one. Yeah. Side note, I took dance lessons at the same place for 10 years. And my last year that I did a recital, my name was in the program seven times. Each time my name was spelled differently and none of them were right.
I love it. I love it.
So that's why I invested in a banner. So every gig I get like a Vanna White moment of like, here, this is how you spell my name. So yeah, my website, leannstutler.com. I'm on Facebook and Instagram primarily under at Leann Stutler Music. Once
Okay.
again, that's LeannStutler. And then I'm on YouTube too, and I've got original music on Spotify and Apple Music and Google Play and Amazon and all those other places. And then at gigs, I still sell CDs because I still buy CDs.
Yep, there you go. I bought one a couple of days ago, as a matter of fact. We'll have all that in the show notes. So if anyone would like to follow along with what's going on and they happen to be in their car right now, just check the show notes when you get to a safe place and just click on the link. It'll take you to all of her social media. Now, the final track we're going to feature is actually the title cut from your most recent EP called Welcome to the Circle. What's the story on Welcome to the Circle?
So, Welcome to the Circle is easily the most personal song that I've written. It started off 2 weeks before I graduated from college. And I was supposed to have one of my final performances senior year, and it was gospel band. And my mom, unfortunately, because of her job, had not been able to come see the gospel band my entire senior year. And she's like, I'm going to be at this one. I'm going to be at this one. I'm loading grandma up in the car. We're driving to Chicago. I'm going to see you. So we were really excited for that day. And I went and I was doing my sound check with the ensemble in the concert hall at Columbia. And my phone kept ringing and it was her. And I'm like, why is she calling me? So I just kind of ignored it the first time. And about 10 minutes later, she called me again. And I'm like, she knows I'm in sound check. What's going on? So I ignored it again. Got through the rest of sound check and I found one or two more missed calls. So I went out in the hallway and I called her back. And she's like, I'm really sorry, but I'm not going to make it. And I'm like, what do you mean you're not going to make it? Like, we have Life360 on our
Right,
phones. And
yes.
so I could see that she was on her way. And I'm like, what's going on? What happened? And she's like, we think your grandpa had a stroke.
Oh, no.
And I'm turning around. So I'm going to drop grandma off at her house. And then I'm going to meet your dad at the hospital with my grandmother and or my other grandmother, and we're going to find out what's going on. But I think he had a stroke. So at this point, I'm like in the hallway crying before I go on stage, and everybody's like, "What's going on?" And I'm like, "My grandfather's not doing well. We think he just had a stroke, but I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm like, I'm going to go on stage. Everything's fine." So I go out on stage. And it's gospel bands, so like everybody's crying. It's a huge spiritual moment. Like everybody's like getting into it. And I'm crying. And my teacher didn't know what was going on. So she's like thinking I'm feeling the spirit, singing, open the eyes of my heart. And I'm like, I'm feeling the spirit, just not in the way that you think I'm feeling the spirit.
Right, yes.
And so I went back to my apartment that night And the only song that gave me comfort was Will the Circle Be
The
Unbroken
Broken,
by the Carter
absolutely.
Family.
Absolutely. One of the greatest of all time.
It's fantastic. And anybody that knows even just an inkling about the country music industry knows that that song is very important as far as being one of the first recorded songs, one of the best-selling songs, one of the core songs. I mean, that's the whole point that we have the circle in the stage of the Grand Ole Opry from the Ryman Auditorium
Absolutely.
is part of that song. And so that was the only song that gave me comfort. And at first it was, well, this is a country gospel song. You're supposed to lean into your faith at this time. This is a difficult time. You can't be there with your family. And then it became background noise. And then I kind of snapped out of it before I went to bed that night. And the thing that came through my head was, you're listening to this song for a reason. What's the meaning? How does this question apply to your life right now? And the next morning I woke up and I wrote the song, Welcome to the Circle. About everything that I was feeling as far as my grandfather having the stroke and not being with my family and being 2 weeks away from graduation and having this realization I spent 4 years building these relationships with my peers and my teachers and how am I going to maintain those after I graduate and go back home and what's going to happen. And I was very lucky to have a family that always looked at my friends as an extension of our family. And took care of them like they were their own kids and realized that family doesn't leave family, even if we are far away from each other. And that's what the song is about. That's
It's
the long
what a
story.
great story. That exactly sells it right there, especially from Will the Circle Be Unbroken to Welcome to the Circle. With Leanne Stutler, today's podcast guest. Leanne, it's been a delight talking with you. Looking forward to seeing you somewhere in the local area over the spring and summer, and hope to stay in touch with you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It was great talking with you.
Hi, this is Rick Anthony, thanking you again for listening to this episode of Someone You Should Know. Now, if you're an aspiring musician or an established musician that's looking for a little exposure, I invite you to drop us a line at someoneyoushouldknowpodcast@gmail.com. That's someoneyoushouldknowpodcast@gmail.com. Also, I invite you to tell a friend about the Someone You Should Know podcast. I thank you for tuning in this time, and I invite you to check us out next time on the Someone You Should Know podcast, because you never know who's going to show up. Until next time, remember, God loves you, and so do I.